Sure, good to be with you today. I appreciate how friendly you've all been, making myself and my entire family feel so welcome. I'll save some personal remarks for later, but I'd like to get right to the business for which we have come together today and talking about the Word of God and discussing some things from that. Today we'd like to talk about three invitations, and if you'd like to open your Bibles up to Luke chapter 14, verses 16 through 24. Luke chapter 14, verses 16 through 24. It's a lengthy reading, and I just like to hear your pages turning anyway, so if you'd like to turn there, and we'll read together for just a moment. This is a parable that Jesus taught in Luke chapter 14, beginning at verse 16. A certain man gave a great supper and invited many, and he sent his servants at supper time to say to those who were invited, "Come, for all things are now ready." But they, with one accord, began to make excuses. The first said to him, "I have bought a piece of ground, and I must go and see it. I ask you to have me excused." Another said, "I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I am off, and I'm going to test them, and ask you to have me excused." Still another said, "I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come." So that servant came and reported the things to his master, and the master of the house became angry, said to his servant, "Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring here the poor and the maimed and the lame and the blind." And the servant said, "Master, it's done as you have commanded, and there is still room." And the master said to the servant, "Go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say to you that none of those men who were invited shall taste of my supper." Now this particular parable does tell us of three invitations, but that's not the three we're going to talk about today. But we read that as a matter of introduction, because we see that when the Lord offers an invitation, we ought to listen. When the Lord extends to us something that He would have us to do, or someplace He would have us to go, we need to have our ears attuned to that. You know, we all receive many invitations. You may receive an invitation to a graduation, or a wedding, or some kind of party. But there is no greater invitation that can be extended than that which the Lord offers. But you know, the nature of invitation is that you can accept an invitation or you can decline it. You can choose to say, "Yes, I'll go," or you can say, "No thanks, I'll not do that. If I invite you over to my house, you're welcome to come." And you can say, "Sure, Paul, let's go." Or you can say, "No, I've got other plans. I just don't want to. We didn't like you. We never did." Whatever the reason, you can turn down that invitation. And you know, you can turn down the Lord's invitations as well. But you have to be ready to bear the consequences of turning those down. You have to be ready to bear the consequences of turning down an invitation from the Almighty. No invitation is more important than the three that we want to address today. As we study them, I want you to ask yourself, have you accepted? Are you willing to accept the invitation that the Lord offers? We'd like to begin in Matthew chapter 11. Maybe the most famous invitation that the Lord has offered. Maybe it's the one that you thought of when you thought the Lord's invitation, where Jesus invites you. "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." If you read this passage in context, you'll see a few things. You'll see that there were religious leaders, Jewish leaders, scribes and Pharisees, high priests, people who should have been attuned to what Jesus was saying, who were rejecting Him. They were turning Him down. And Jesus here puts out a call, an invitation call. And He doesn't call the high and the mighty. He doesn't call those who are righteous in their own eyes. But He says, "Come to me, those of you who are burdened down. Those of you who have a hard life. Those of you who feel the burden of guilt of your sin." Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, because I want to give you rest. I want to give you the rest that only I can provide. I want to provide you with something that will only come if you will accept my call. What we have here is the Lord's invitation to obey the gospel today. To come to Him today means that we would hear His word and that we would believe. We would be willing to repent of our sins, confess Christ before men, and be baptized so that our sins might be washed away. When we're laden down with the burden of sin, a debt that we can't pay for ourselves, Jesus says, come to me. He invites you. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. The nature of this invitation is that you must see that you are in need. That person who doesn't feel like they need anything, like what we read earlier in this chapter about those who had rejected Jesus, they didn't see that they had any need. They didn't see that they had any need for a Savior, and so they were never going to come to Christ. So He calls those who had a need. This is a universal call. In Revelation chapter 22 and verse 17, there the Scripture says, "And the Spirit and the Bride say, Come. And let him who hears say, Come. And let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him take of the water of life freely." And in Romans chapter 12 and verses 1 and 2, the Scripture talks to us there that we may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God when we decide to come to Christ. You know, in many congregations, I know back home there are some who they sit and they listen every time a man stands down here and he extends the Lord's invitation. And they've never obeyed. And so every time the call goes out, and whoever the Lord's servant is that extends it, just like in the parable at the beginning, the Lord's servant going out to find who would come to the feast, the servant who stands there, the preacher, the man of the congregation, extending the Lord's invitation, they sit there and they say, "No thanks, Lord. I'm just fine. I'll not come to you. I'll not yield obedience. I'll not turn to you and obey your truth." It's a dangerous thing to sit and to reject the Lord's invitation time after time after time. Come to me is a call from a Savior. A Savior who's gone to the cross so that He might save the lost. Consider another invitation. Come after me. And we'll stick in the book of Matthew. And we'll look over in the book of Matthew chapter 16. In Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 through 26. I have a portion of that on the screen. Those verses say, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what is a man profited if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul?" Examine the context of this passage. Jesus has revealed to His disciples that there are some troubling things that are going to take place. There are some difficult things that are going to happen in their lives. Peter has just said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God," back in verse 18, verse 16. And there Jesus declares him to be blessed because He has declared that great foundation principle. "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." As we continue to read, we see that Jesus began to reveal to them some of the suffering and some of the difficulties that He was going to face. And Peter says, "It'll never happen. You're the Son of God. We're your followers. We're faithful to you. These terrible things, we'll never allow those to happen. It'll never happen to you, the Son of God." Jesus says, "Get behind me, Satan. You can't stop me from this mission that I've come to do." If you want to follow me, there's going to be a burden to bear. If you want to come after me, you're going to have to take up your cross and follow me. The call here is to the followers of the Lord to be faithful. I like what Paul wrote to the Ephesians in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1. Paul there says, "I therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called." You realize the gospel call that recognizes that Jesus went to the cross, that He suffered for our sakes and bore our sins? We realize the great sacrifice that He's paid for us. Paul calls upon believers to walk worthy of the calling, to walk worthy of the gospel wherein we were called. It's a call to faithfulness. Jesus says, if you want to be my disciple, you can't just profess it, Peter. You can't just say, you're the Christ. And these things will never happen. You're going to have to face some difficult times. You're going to have to put forth the effort that it takes to be faithful. Take up your cross. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20, Paul reminds the Corinthians, "Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own, for you were bought at a price? Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." You're no longer your own. Are you willing to take up your cross? I'm talking to the believers now. I'm talking to those who have yielded their lives to be faithful servants of God. Are you willing to work in the kingdom of God? Jesus bore the cross that we can't bear. We can't be the perfect sacrifice because He alone is the sinless Son of God. He bore the cruel cross of Calvary. But He says, you're going to have to take up your cross. Remember in the first invitation, He says, my yoke is easy, my burden's light. But that burden you will have to take up. Are you willing to work? Are you willing to sacrifice? Are you willing to suffer? To put Christ first. To serve Him faithfully. The price of discipleship is high. And in context of the passage in Matthew chapter 16 where Jesus says, come after me, take up your cross, He goes on to teach about counting the cost. Being willing to pay the price. The come after me is the call from one who was nailed to the cross. To His followers, you and I, to take up our daily crosses and to follow faithfully after Him. Consider our third invitation. And that's also found in the book of Matthew. And if you turn over to Matthew chapter 25 and verse 34, you recall how Jesus has said to some that I was hungry and naked and in prison, and you visited and ministered to me. And they didn't understand that, but He said that when you served others, when you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. Well, to the righteous there is a judgment given. In Matthew chapter 25 and verse 34, then the king will say to those on his right hand, come you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you a drink? When did we see a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. Friends, this is the invitation call that we all hope to hear. This is the invitation call that you and I want to hear at the end of time. Come, you blessed my Father. It's time to go home. Jesus knew that His disciples were going to have some troubling days before He left. And in John chapter 14, in verses 1 through 3, Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." And he told them that they knew the way. Let not your heart be troubled over the troubles of life. Look forward to the hope that the Lord has set before you. Look forward to that time in which you could hear the great invitation of God on the great day to come. In Revelation chapters 21 and 22, a picture of heaven is given there. When we think about, "Come, you blessed of my Father," think about the pain that this life gives. Think about the loved ones that you've been at the funeral home and standing beside the open grave. Think about the hurt that you've had to be sick in the hospital, or worse yet, to see a loved one suffer. If you read through Revelation chapter 21 and verses 22, you'll see a beautiful city pictured there. A place where there's no more sorrow, there's no pain, there's no death and dying. And you know, whatever we've had to suffer in this life, the sorrows we've experienced, the joys of heaven will overwhelm those in such a way that the Scripture says that God will wipe away every tear from your eye. "Come, you blessed of my Father," is the invitation call. Consider the danger of rejecting the Lord's invitation. We looked a moment ago in Luke chapter 14. When that invitation was given to come to the feast, we see that when that was rejected, and the people began to make excuses why they would not accept the Lord's invitation, we see that it made the master very, very angry. The Lord pleaded with Israel to come in Isaiah chapter 1, verses 18 through 20. He pleaded with His people in the Old Testament to come reason with Him, to sit down, to understand the will of God. And in Isaiah chapter 1, verses 18 through 20, the Scripture says, "Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, though they be as white as snow, though they are red like crimson, they shall be like wool. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured by the sword. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken." Israel is warned. Israel of old is warned about refusing when the Lord is called. What about us? Will we refuse when the Lord has called to us to obey His word and to obey His gospel? There is a great danger in doing that. We're going to, in a moment, sing a song. A song to invite you with the Lord's invitation. Think about the invitations. Is there one among us tonight, this afternoon even? Still haven't got it right, do I? Still one this morning? Any hour. Is there one or more who you've heard that invitation call before? Or maybe this is the very first time and you need to come and render obedience and you need to have your sins washed away like the Lord promised to do with Israel. Though you have the burden of sin, you need to have it washed away. Washed in the blood of the Lamb. Would you come to Him, all you who labor and are heavy laden, for the rest that He provides? Would you, if you are a Christian and you're not faithful, you're not living according to the Lord's commands, would you rededicate your life to Him and taking up your cross to follow after Him? If you've not been taking up that cross, if you've been living unfaithfully, Wouldn't you do that so that you can have that rest? Don't we all want to hear, "Come, you blessed of my Father, enter in to what God has provided for you from the foundation of the world"? You only get to hear the third invitation if you've responded to the first two already. Would you come? Would you obey? We urge you to be reconciled to God as we'll stand, and our good brother will lead us in the song.